Today I want to share the second part of the teaching I shared last time about being sober. I subtitled this part Sound Mind. The first one was obedience, but this is regarding about sound mind. And in the first part of this series of teachings about being sober, I emphasized the importance of obedience by outlining the consequences of disobedience. We saw what happened when Adam and Eve, with a little push from Satan, but by their own free will, disobeyed God's commands. Then sin, condemnation, and death, eternal death, ensued. And when Jesus Christ also, by his free will, became obedient unto the Father, resulting in redemption, forgiveness, and life, eternal or spiritual life there is, but also restoring the dominion God gave Adam over his creation. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Here we see when God conferred dominion over his creation upon men. So when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they transferred that dominion over to Satan, the god of this world. That dominion was taken back from Satan when Jesus Christ died, resurrected, and ascended up to the Father, and is available today to all born-again believers as a son or daughter of God by seed. That is why 1 John 4:4 say, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." But to exercise dominion over God's creation by praying, by believing without a doubt, by using the name of Jesus Christ, to renew our mind, to control our tongues, to do all things as unto the Lord, and to be thankful while giving the glory to God, doesn't happen overnight. Some claim God changed them immediately. I don't say it cannot happen. Phenomena happened, but it did not happen to me. Not after 1 month, or even after 1 or 2 or 3 years of being a born-again believer. I'm still pressing toward the mark, just like the Apostle Paul told the Philippians. "Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, leaving the past behind is one of the keys to the renewed mind. As one continues to keep living on the past, he or she will never be able to renew his or her mind, and the renewed mind is the key to power. Power to reclaim that dominion over God's creation that was gained back by Jesus' complete works. So as we press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus day after day, it's a learning experience in our Christian walk as a way of life while we try to develop a spiritual walk when we leave the past behind. So the past being our old way of life, are all natural men. And all that takes time, takes obedience. Obedience unto the Father and also discipline. But one of the things Jerry mentioned in his sharing, free will. In one of the posters from this session 7 from the class, this a couple weeks ago, I saw a poster that enlists three aspects of having the seed of God in Christ in you. Number one, eternal life. Number two, divine favor. And number three, men's obedience to Romans 10, 9 and 10. The book of Romans established the foundational doctrine of the Church of Christ. And when we obey that confession, believing in our hearts that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we come to be sons and daughters of God by seed. Confession that is only done via our free will. We all know what Romans 10:9-10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And it's also in the book of Romans that we learn about the renewed mind. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Renewed mind that was also is also done by our free will. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So here is when being sober comes into play. Soberly comes from two Greek words. Eis, which is a primary preposition, indicating the point reached or entered of place, time, or purpose. And sophronio, which comes from sophron, meaning to be of a sound mind or sober. Now, sophron comes from zotso, meaning safe, to save, deliver, or protected, be, make, whole. That's what zotso means. And the other Greek word is friend, meaning to rein or curb the midriffs as a portion of the body, the feeling, our sensitive nature, the mind, our cognitive faculties, which is the understanding. So thinking soberly has everything to do with self-control of our whole being. Physically, emotionally, and mentally wise. Can a natural man be able to do all this? Perhaps, but I don't think that we can do it without God's power, without God's spirit. But you know, when I was a child, I used to listen to a radio program about a fictional character. His name was Kalimann. I think I shared this in a teaching before. Kalimann He was known as the Incredible Man, a mystical and enigmatic character from a radio show, and his young companion Solin, who was a descendant of the pharaohs. So when they were in a great danger, his famous phrase was, "Serenity and patience, Solin." A lot of patience. So part of this phrase was, "He who masters the mind masters everything." So, you know, in the radio, you don't see people, you hear the voices, but they used to have the character was a man with a very grave voice, like something that it will impact you when you hear that saying. So he will say that he who masters the mind masters everything. He was not too far from the key to power. Of course, he was a pagan fictional character. We are not all Kaliman, but we are sons and daughters of God. And he gave his children a gift. Just after we confess Romans 10, 9 and 10. So, go to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. You know, I know everybody in times before when TVs were not available yet, all we listened to were radio programs, radio shows and stuff like that. And you being a young child and listening to these enigmatic figures, and when you don't know anything about God's word, everything that people shows you, you know, everybody knows about Marvels, all the heroes that Captain America, Superman, Batman, and all that stuff. Well, that's fiction. Although this really was fictional too, but you being a young child, sometimes those things impact your life. And the idea of learning about if you can control the mind, you can control everything, it seems also fictional. But it's real and true when you come to God's word. Because then you can know you can do that. Thanks to Jesus Christ's works. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." The Greek word for sealed also means to stamp with a signet or a private mark. We got the mark from God, which indicates to keep secret, indicates security, permanency, delivered. Now, this delivers not in the sense of being delivered from something, but when something is delivered to you, you know, like what, you got a mail, you got something. Like when you got a package from something you bought. That's what the word seal means. We got something within. God delivered something to us. That seal established that. It means ownership. It means authentication and destination. So all of that is involved in that seal. This gift is what enables us to say, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Now, the word earnest, we're going to talk about the word earnest a little bit after. But go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Sound mind, here is the Greek word sophronismos. Sophronismos. It's 2 times the same Greek word. Every time I see that, it shocks me because I know it's something important. This word is used only here. It comes from the Greek word phroniso, which also comes from the Greek word sophron, which we just talked about. You know? That comes from zozo and friend. From all these Greek words, roots and definitions, sophronismos has been translated as sound mind, sanity, self-control, discipline, soberness. And as we saw, it has to do with self-control or discipline in our whole being, physically, emotionally, and mentally wise. God gave us the ability to curb our feelings and certain portions of our body and our thoughts so we don't be out there walking in the vanity of our minds. God's word shows us the striking difference between God's good and evil. So, when we are sober, we're always on the good side. Now, John 10:10 is first a warning. Remember that? But the adversary, the devil, is first, oh no, it's, what is it? It's first John 10. You have venido? I have come. The adversary is always trying to steal and to kill and to destroy. John 10:10 is first a warning from eternal destruction and also a promise of eternal life. 1 Peter 5:8 is a reminder of that warning that shouldn't be taken for granted. 1 Peter 5:8 say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he might devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Although verse 9 gives a way to counter the threat of the adversary with faith and steadfastness, it's important to be aware of the attacks of the devil and the need of giving attendance to reading the scriptures by studying to show thyself approved unto God, like a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says. It is necessary to keep preaching the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine, as 2 Timothy 4:2 says. So, we have to discipline ourselves into those areas, study, preaching, speaking, operating in the manifestation of Holy Spirit, the whole thing. And we can do that with God in Christ in you, God in Christ in us. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. We'll still keep talking about the mind thing. Romans chapter 8, 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Mind, here is the Greek word phroneo, meaning to exercise the mind, to be mentally disposed or set affections on. We are not supposed to be mentally disposed or to set our affections on the things of the flesh, as this verse say. Mr. E.W. Bollinger says that flesh here refers to the old nature, the old man, the old way of life. That is why we must to rein our feelings and some part of our bodies and our thoughts. Hence, the importance of the renewed mind and the reason we call it the key to power. I don't know if you guys remember, but many years ago, Jerry asked us about changing 180 degrees. You guys remember that? That was a long time ago. That cannot happen if we don't renew our minds. The class we're taking right now, Living Triumphantly in Christ, can help us to achieve that. The renewed mind is the key to power. And as I mentioned before, the Bible shows us the striking difference between good and evil. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I think we were there in verse 5, but now it's verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace is what we all want. Plus abundance, plus health, plus harmony, plus security. Security, that reminds me of something that's coming in the September Arios, but it's coming. Security. That is what Jesus Christ came for. All these things. Life and peace and abundance, the health and harmony, security. Besides eternal life. But there are lots of blessings that he brought when he came. Is not that all about with the abundant life? Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than we ought to think, than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We must think soberly. A Christian believer must be temperate, not drunk, and thoughtful in character or conduct, grave, serious, not emotional, and well-balanced. That is the definition I gave you in my last teaching about being sober, which is what a sound mind also means. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Like-minded is the same Greek word as Romans 8:5, phroneo, meaning that we must set our affections or to be mentally disposed to manifest agape, to being merciful and being of one accord. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Mind here is also the same Greek word phroneo, and is as is in all the following usages in Philippians chapter 3 verse 13. You want to go there? If not, I'll just read it to you. It's Paul talking to the Philippians. Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is the key for us to do a 180 degrees change. We must forget the things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3 verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. The word perfect here means complete. As a full-edged believer who has grown in moral and mental character. All of these are the works of our minds. We must renew our minds, and we should be mentally disposed to do all of this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open, his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So we must literally shun evil. Get out of the way of evil and do good. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I think I mentioned that before, that Paul wrote this epistle to Timothy, and here we can see his love and tenderness on his words, on this letter. But we can also add our names there, because these are not only Paul's words. He said he wrote by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Are you included in that promise? Yes, we are. Yes, you are. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of my tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So we see not only the tender affection in the words of Paul, but we also see the great confidence he had for Timothy. He was persuaded, meaning that he had total trust in him that Timothy was going to perform the will of God. Verse 16, 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stirred up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on my hands. I mentioned before that 1 and 2 Timothy, some classify them as pastoral of leadership epistles. But you don't need to be a pastor or a leader to be able to do what Paul asked Timothy to do. Ye are a son or daughter of God, with God in Christ in you also. The Spirit of God dwells within you, as it used to dwell in Timothy. Now the phrase stir up comes from the Greek word anasopureo, which is compound from three different Greek words. The first meaning up, the second meaning life, to live or to quick, and the third meaning fire or lightning. So to me, stir up is okay, but doesn't do justice to what it should say. It should say fire it up, keep it alive, make it alive, live it, which is the opposite of to quench the spirit or to extinguish. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Power of God. What is power, Jerry? Dunamis. What dwells within you? The Spirit of God filled with dunamis. This letter was written to Timothy by Paul. We see that again. Now, some teach that it doesn't have anything to do with us. Well, it does. We already saw that. We are partakers of the gospel of Christ. We also have the Spirit of God within us. We are God's children, and we must fight up the gift of God. The same love, the same tenderness, the same confidence Paul showed for Timothy in his letter is exactly the same God has for his children. Us. The field of the mind is very complex. That is why God gave us a spirit of agape and of power and of a sound mind. So a sound mind is a prerequisite to walk soberly. And to walk soberly, we must be obedient and humble unto God by following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of that is basically made out of our free will. You know, people blame God saying that, well, Satan is his son. The Bible said that when the sons of God came, the devil came among them. But there is one thing they don't get. God did not create Satan like that. He created the most beautiful of the archangels. But he also had free will. And by his own free will, he did what he did, and he became Satan. It was not God's fault. It was his own pride. He had free will. And we all have free will. And we just saw what Jerry shared about the Macedonians. All that they did was because of their free will. They wanted to do that, even into that great pressures they had. We will go through different things, and we will be pressured by this world, not by God. But it's our free will to do or not to do what God wants us and asks us to do. So the spirit he gave us is dunamis. But dunamis doesn't work if I don't flip the switch. If I don't do by my own will the things that God has asked me to do. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger yourself unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The word younger Here is the Greek word neos. It means new or fresh. It could be fresh in the word, a new person in the word. Now the word elder is the Greek word presbyteros. Older in the word, a mature believer, but mainly refers to some in a position of leadership. Now the word submit is the Greek word hupotasso, to subordinate, to obey. And it's the same word used in the phrase submit one to another. So it's not a matter of because you are a young believer, a neos, everyone must to tell you what to do and you should obey because you're the younger one. You just follow orders. No. It says submit one to another regardless of age, experience, or position. Verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he might devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The renewed mind is the key to power. Power to grow. Power to defeat the things of the flesh and change our way of life 180 degrees. Power to be spiritually minded. Power to life and peace. So many years ago, I shared a teaching about dominion. And one of the things I came to realize is that if we do not have dominion over the flesh, meaning the things of this world, they will have dominion over us. So yes, we can exercise dominion over God's creation. Do not underestimate God's gift of Holy Spirit because it's only an earnest or a pledge. You know, when you want to buy a house, regardless of the price, the realtor asks you to put down a 3%. Right? Well, this pledge God placed as a part of the purchase money of property given in advance as security for the rest. God gave us an advance of what is in store. Right? We are sealed with Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, this gift can do this. And it's only an earnest. It's only a pledge. It's only a tiny part of what is in store. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It has something we have to do. Our free will is involved in that. We have to cast down imaginations. We have to take away the things that do not belong in our spiritual walk, in our way of life. Verse 6, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Here we have again the whole enchilada, my friends. Obedience, sound mind or discipline, and free will. 2 Timothy 1:7 again says that for God had not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of dunamis. I think Jerry still have a lot to share about dunamis, right? But we'll see what it's all about. But we have that. It dwells within us. And of a sound mind. So we don't have to think highly of what we are. We are sons and daughters of God. We are special people. We're not more than the other rest of the people, but we are special people because we have God in Christ in us. So just imagine what this earnest, what this pledge, what this tiny part, what this gift that dwells within us can achieve if we discipline ourselves to not extinguish that gift, to not quench or to crush it or to decimate that gift, but instead, what if we, instead of only stirring it up, we fight it up, we make it alive, we'll live it, and we declare it daily. That we can do with our own free will. We already obey the confession of Romans 10, 9, and 10. Now is God in Christ in us. Now we have this power within us. And it's not just any power. It is indeed the power of God. Amen.